happy almost New Year's, right? Almost 2024. We've got 12 hours and 38 and a half minutes left before the new year. And if we have not met yet, my name is Steve Maturin. I'm one of the elders here at Green Hills. And it is my privilege to share with you God's word. So before we get into God's word, I think we need to pray. I think that would be a really, really good idea, all right? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, thank you for the privilege of being here this morning and to worship you. And I pray, God, that you would help us to hear you this morning, that you would speak through me and help all of us to hear what it is that you have brought us here this morning to hear from you. That you, God, would be the one who changes our lives and grows us more to be disciples, followers of Jesus, living in his image and useful to you for your purposes and glory in this world. Thank you for this opportunity, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so one of the questions that does get asked about this time of the year is, like, what are you doing for New Year's, right? Has anybody asked you that question yet, right? For example, how many of you are going to watch the Rose Parade tomorrow, right? These are traditions. We do these things. Rose Bowl, anybody watching that? Watching Alabama upset Michigan, maybe? just a thought, you know? Or maybe anybody watching the Sugar Bowl, right? Right? Washington destroying Texas? Anybody into that, right? Pac-12, good stuff. Tonight, anybody watching them drop the ball in Times Square? A few of those, right? You know, they have been dropping the ball in New York since 1907. Think about that. There's like a billion people around the world that watch that, about 100 million in the United States alone watching them drop the ball in New York. Back at the turn of the last century, up in San Francisco, they had this idea that they were going to have a 7-story tall martini glass in front of the St. Francis Hotel. And at the stroke of midnight, they had this 10-foot inflatable olive that was going to slide down the swizzle stick into the martini, right? Does that sound like San Francisco or what, right? As Christians, there ought to be something more meaningful for us, something more lasting, less trivial than watching all the hoopla and listening to music and partying all night, right? And we want to press into that today. That's where we want to go this morning. What God tells us is important for us to focus on as we celebrate and we move into the new year. So if you would, turn with me or swipe or tap or whatever you're doing there to Numbers 29, or you can just look at the screen, and we're going to look together at the first 6 verses of Numbers 29. And so just a little bit of a reality check. Most of us probably would agree that Numbers isn't our most favorite turn to devotional reading, right? But God gave us Numbers. And a few Sundays back, David led us through Leviticus. Remember that? And if Leviticus can lead us deeper in love with Jesus, then Numbers can lead us into what God has for us in the new year. I didn't get an amen on that, but we'll see if we go with it. Numbers 29, it comes in a section of Scripture that focuses on various sacrifices that are to be offered, and specifically at the beginning of the new year, what's important for God's people to focus on as they're sacrificing. Numbers 29, verse 1. Now in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It will be to you a day for blowing trumpets. We need to pause there. And notice that God, speaking to his people through Moses, God says, in the 7th month. And we need to understand what God means by in the 7th month. So hold on to this. The Hebrew people are using 2 different calendars. 2 calendars that are operating at the same time, which is something that we do, right? Our calendar year begins in January, and fiscal year begins in July. School year begins in August or September or so, and so this kind of idea of two calendars, same time, is sort of familiar, right? One calendar, God's calendar, the religious calendar, was used to calculate the timing of the religious festivals, the feasts, and the sacrifices. And the other calendar, which was the civil calendar, was what the Hebrews used for their official calendar of government, of business, for official records keeping. And so both of these calendars have 12 months. They just start at different times. So the first month of God's religious calendar begins in our month of March or April, and the people's civil calendar begins in our month of September or October. And if that's confusing, remember 7 to 1. So the seventh month of God's religious calendar corresponds to the first month of the civil calendar. So when Numbers 29:1 says, now in the seventh month, God's religious calendar, he's also talking about the civil calendar, or New Year's, which today gets celebrated as Rosh Hashanah. It's the Jewish New Year, right? Kind of together on that? Okay. So and so that's not random coincidence. The sovereign God of creation, who created time to serve him, God has chosen to take his calendar, his timing events, and to very purposefully match them up with the new year of his people, God personally and intimately connecting with his people. And so God is telling his people, when you celebrate your new year, this is what I want you to focus on. Here is what is important. Going on, verse 1. Now in the seventh month, and the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work, so stop working and come together for a special holy, this is about God, New Year's gathering. It will be to you a day for blowing trumpets. And so a ram's horn, we call a shofar, a trumpet is blown. The day becomes known as the Feast of Trumpets. All day long, trumpets would blast, calling people, God's people, to come together. Verse 2, when you gather, you shall offer a burnt offering as a soothing aroma to God, one bull, one ram, and 7 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect. Also, their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Offer 1 male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering, and the continual burnt offering and its grain offering, and their drink offerings according to their ordinance for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Whew, this is why this is not go-to devotional reading, right? But without going into a lot of detail, the point of this Feast of Trumpets offerings was to bring God's people before God to remember who God is, the holy God, God as the sovereign and gracious, loving God who abundantly provides for his people, and for God's people to offer themselves totally in worship to God in praise and in service. And then God gave his people 10 days to reflect, to think seriously about their lives and their relationship with God, essentially 10 days of soul searching and agreeing with God that they had failed in their relationship with God. And then the 10th day was the day of atonement, Yom Kippur. What comes next? If we were to read down through verse 7 and following, essentially it's a repeat of day 1, what we just read, but the emphasis is on atonement. Sinners who had just had 10 days to reflect on how they'd failed in their relationship with God being atoned for. And so animals were sacrificed. The life of the animal paying the debt that was owed to God by the sinner because of their sin. And so the sinner's account before God was made right. It was reconciled again, atoned for again with God. And the animal's life is given in the place of the life of the sinner. And so visualizing that, Among the sacrifices, two goats were brought, and the first goat was sacrificed, and along with the blood of the sacrificed bull, the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the goat on the mercy seat, the seat that is at the center of the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle, and it's God's people crying out in faith that God would forgive their sin and God himself would make right their relationship with God. And then the priest laid his hands on the second goat, two goats, first goat sacrificed, second goat brought, lays his hands on the second goat. It's an act of identification with the animal. And it's a way of showing the transfer of the people's sin to the animal. And then the priest would confess the sins of the people. And then the second goat, that was called the scapegoat, would be sent off into the wilderness, bearing away the sins of the people. They're gone, and they're forgiven. Can you imagine them doing that in Times Square in New York? And a goat is sent off into New Jersey? And then 5 days later comes the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a feast that lasted seven more days, more sacrifices. Emphasis being remembering God's delivering his people from bondage and from slavery in Egypt, and God blessing them with the promised land, which is this land that God gave to his people to dwell with his people in this reconciled peace. And the bottom line of all that, God's focus, what God is heading into, his focus as we're heading into the new year, this new beginning for the new year, God's people living rightly with God because of God and living for God. God's people living rightly with God because of God and living for God. To God alone be the glory. And the problem with that was that the Old Testament sacrificial system was like taking a shower with a raincoat on. The outside gets washed, but the stuff that really needs cleaning never gets touched. And the priests and the people would have to repeat their sacrifices over and over again, New Year's after New Year's, always faithfully praying that God once again would forgive their sins and restore their relationship. If you would tap or turn or swipe or whatever, or look at the screen, look with me at Hebrews 9, starting at verse 11. Look where God goes with this for us. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. It's not physical. It's not like the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple in Jerusalem, but it's spiritual. And not through the blood of goats and calves, this bloody annual sacrificing that we saw in Numbers, but through his own blood poured out on the cross for us. And he entered the holy place, the holy of holies, this place of the mercy seat. And he entered the holy place once for all, for us, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus, our sacrificial lamb, offered himself once, and that reconciled our sin account before God forever. God, by his grace, has given us salvation, new life, through the blood of Jesus Christ. By God's grace, we live because of God, with God, and for God. To God alone be the glory. And that is way more crucially important for us to focus on than some giant inflatable olive slipping down into a martini glass. Amen? Yeah. Oh. Every Sunday this month, we have been in a sermon series, New and Glorious, revisiting Christmas carols and focusing on the birth of Jesus' sacrifice, the significance for our lives. And this morning, we want to think forward to what that can look like for us, focusing on what God has for us to focus on in the new year. And so to do that, we're going to do something just a little bit different this morning. We have a lot of families, a lot of kids with us this morning. So hopefully this works. If not, it's still going to be fun. All right, so we're going to try to visualize Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, the account of the shepherds. So all you guys, you want to come on up here. We asked kids, people, come on forward, and we're going to kind of put them around a little bit here. We're going to try to visualize this. If you want to turn ahead, swipe, tap, whatever, to Luke chapter chapter 2, that'd be good. Okay, so we need all of our shepherds right here, and our angels can be over here. And Mary and Joseph, we've got with baby Jesus over there. You get that. All right, and we have sheep. Okay, we're good. We're good with sheep, right? Okay, we've got our representative sheep here. There are more sheep, by the way, but they are back in the pen taking a bath, right? With woolite. Okay, so we're good. We got sheep, shepherds, angels, angel, Mary and Joseph, people in Bethlehem. Hi, guys. And so we're gonna try to visualize this. We're gonna read together, starting at verse 8. So let's read together. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Wow. Okay. So let's pause there. So in the same region, meaning Bethlehem, Jerusalem is kind of over that way, about 5 miles or so, and it's night and the stars are brightly shining. You kind of picture all that. And the shepherds are watching their flocks. I've got this, right? We're good? Okay. So tell me something. You're a shepherd, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you do as a shepherd?
I help sheep.
That works. Okay. Yeah, good. Do you like being a shepherd?
Yes.
Good. Good answer. That works. Okay. So you guys are out here, and then we have our head angel over here, right? Okay. And so we need the glory of the Lord. Can we like lights? Does that work? Oh, see that? Look at that. And the angel Lord comes and stands. There's nothing, by the way. There's nothing in the text that says the angels were up in the sky, right? They went back to heaven. So standing here is, it works, right? Okay, so you got, okay, here's the announcement.
Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Right on, good. You like being an angel? Yeah, good. Parents, is she an angel? No, I'm not going to go there. Sorry. Okay, so yeah, right on. Okay, so let's read verse 13 together. Okay, here we go. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, we'd say this all together, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Right on, angels. You guys did great. Yeah? Cool. Okay. So you guys, all the angels, you can go back to your seats now if you want. Head on back down. And can we give them a round of applause? Yeah? Angels, good job. Right on. Okay. So the angels have gone. They've gone back up to heaven. And then let's read together starting at verse 15, all of us. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has been made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Okay, so you guys are shepherds, right? You guys get to go all the way from the fields, all the way over to Bethlehem, right? Can you imagine? And they hastened. Move faster. Go. I love it. They went to Bethlehem, and while they were in Bethlehem, verse 17. Let's read together. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Right on. And so the shepherds, well, you guys are over here. You're telling all these people and Mary and Joseph what the angel said, right? Right on. Yeah. See, they were not sheepish about it. They did it. Okay. And so they did that, and the people wondered, and Mary pondered, right? And then verse 20, the shepherds, let's read together. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. And so the shepherds go back with their sheep, glorifying and praising God. We're good on that? You guys are amazing. Absolutely. Can we give them a round as they go back? You guys can go back to your families and head back. Right on. Bye, guys. Oh. Wow. Even the sheep heard. Sorry. Oh, my word. Wasn't that great? Wow. Yeah. So we're going to try to pull Numbers 29 and Luke 2 together, and new and glorious in the new year. And to pull all this together, I'd like to share two observations and two takeaways for us, right? So hang on to something, all right? So the first observation is the shepherds. Let's think about the shepherds. The shepherds were hard-working, down-to-earth people that are living the realities of real life. The shepherds are watching their sheep in a field at night, and they're doing the pretty much ordinary stuff of life. They're doing what they've done and what they're going to do, what generations of shepherds and their families have probably done year after year. But what God does here is something new. It's a total game changer for the world of these shepherds. So a little bit of backfill we need coming into this. Every morning and every evening, an unblemished lamb was sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem. God's people obeying God and seeking to be right with God over and over again, what we saw a glimpse of in Numbers. But the shepherds were excluded from all of that. They couldn't keep the requirements of the ceremonial laws, the feasts and the washings and so on, because they couldn't do both. They couldn't shepherd sheep in the fields and keep the ceremonial laws. So they were despised by the Orthodox Jews. They were alienated and excluded. They were looked down on by the community. Being a shepherd, socially and spiritually, was pretty hopeless. And in the reality of where they did life, the shepherds, they knew that. Being terribly afraid is more than just about the blazing, glorious, heavenly light. For those who see themselves as separated from God, angels from heaven can have terrifying consequences. And yet, the angel comes direct from before God to directly stand before these shepherds. And when God steps into our humanity and God gives us over the top, full on glories of heaven, multitudes of angels announcement, it isn't to the rich and famous in crowd, the priests and the religiously correct, but to the excluded shepherds in a field with an announcement that comes with shepherd-driven specifics. I bring to you, shepherds, good news of great joy. Has been born to you, shepherds, in Bethlehem a Savior who is Christ, the Messiah, the one anointed by God. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby amongst many, many babies, but you're going to find this baby lying in a manger, which is a feed trough, which is a sign unique for shepherds. Christ the Lord, the one that all those year after year sacrifices is pointing towards, God himself, born to die to deliver his people from bondage and the power of sin and death, the Savior has come to you, shepherds. And while the praise of the angels is directed Godward, it all connects to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest is a statement of adoration, of praise, of testimony. God doing what God alone is able to do. To God alone be the glory. Peace on earth, which is more than the absence of conflict. It's a deep settledness, a contentment within, even in the midst of conflict, of division, of exclusion, peace with others, the beginning point of peace with God. Glory to God and peace among shepherds with whom he is pleased. Notice that word, pleased. The original Greek word means delighted in, taking pleasure in, not because of any great spiritual achievement on the part of the shepherds, but because God chooses to be pleased with them. Good news of great joy for shepherds. And then the shepherds that have been given to them this revelation, this reveal by God, the shepherds made a choice, right? They said, let's go to Bethlehem. Notice, they weren't told by the angel to go. They chose to go. They went with haste, meaning they didn't waste time. Priority one is responding, going, and finding out the truth of what the angel has told them. And what comes next is a life-changing moment for everyone that they told about the angels, what was said about this child. And then when the shepherds return to the fields with the sheep, they return changed. Their lives are changed. They return glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, the truth confirming the reality of what the angel had said to them. Observation number two, us. Because we all are so much like those shepherds. Like shepherds, we live in a field called the Greater La Habra Metroplex with a lot of other people that are just trying to get through life, often confused, trying to keep up, stressed. People dealing with issues in their lives and their families and workplaces and schools, just like we deal with issues in our own lives and families and workplaces and schools. And peace is way too often not a part of that. A few Sundays back, Pastor Jared asked if we thought if peace was even possible. And the answer we know is yes, in Jesus. And like those shepherds, God in Jesus gives his peace to those he is pleased with, to us. And regardless of what we may think of ourselves or what others think of us or we may think others think of ourselves, God is pleased with us. Let's be clear. God is not pleased with our sin. He is pleased with us. And that's astounding, isn't it? That God, not because of any great spiritual achievement on our parts and probably in spite of our best efforts, God chooses to be pleased with us, to be delighted in us. And we need to let that rattle around in our minds and sink into our hearts. God is pleased with us. He is pleased with you. Say that to yourself. God is pleased with me. Just say it to yourself. God is pleased with me. Turn that, share that with someone next to you. Just turn to them and say, God is pleased with you. God is pleased with you. Because of Christ, who has come for us, who willingly gave himself up as our sacrifice on the cross, when we individually accept God's gracious offer of salvation by faith, turning from our sin and trusting God with our lives, God applies his salvation to us, not as a raincoat kind of covering needing endless repetition, but at the heart level, spiritual core of our relationship with him. God makes us to be right with him now and forever, full stop, done. And in the midst of what swirls around us, because we have peace with God, we can know God's peace. Two observations. Observation number one, shepherds. Two, we're a lot like the shepherds. That's us, right? Two takeaways. new and glorious in the new year, living and celebrating what is really new, what is really glorious. The first takeaway is this: live new. Live new. You know, that night, God totally reset, did a total reset of the lives of the shepherds. And I would suspect we could go around this room sharing all the ways in which our lives have been made new because of Jesus Christ. And to live new is to live that newness every day. In Numbers 29, God says to stop work, right? You shall do no laborious work. It will be a day for blowing trumpets. Just stop and focus on our relationship with Him, what God is making new, which we struggle with. Anybody struggle doing that? You know, our lives are full of seemingly what must be done. We get off track. We get distracted. Our peace gets messed with. So maybe in our celebrations today, instead of watching giant olives slide down swizzle sticks into martini glasses, maybe we can stop. Maybe we can be in prayer. Prayers of confession, prayers of dedication and commitment, of seeking His will. Prayers of thanksgiving, prayers asking for the blood of Jesus to cover every area of our lives, to purify us and make us useful for His service. And moving forward into 2024, let's keep that pattern to make sure that we keep stopping and to seek Him and to listen to Him and to allow Him to set the pace of and priorities of our lives so that every day we really are living because of Him and with Him and for Him. Takeaway number one, live new. Takeaway number two, live glorious. Live glorious. Can we say that together? Live glorious. To live testifying who God is and what God has done for us. Like the shepherds, they lived. They went back praising and glorifying God. You know, every Sunday this month, we have been revisiting a Christmas carol. And today is no different. In case you're like stressing, like, oh, we're going to get to the Christmas carol. Okay, we're going to do that. Today we're going to end by singing Go Tell It on the Mountain, which back in 1907, same year they started dropping the ball in New York, back in 1907, John Wark Jr. first publicized and popularized Go Tell It on the Mountain. It began as an African-American spiritual. And the song was sung by those who were suffering under the bondage of slavery, who longed for freedom. They longed to be set free. They longed to live new. And it was sung by those who found hope in the coming of Jesus for them and the gospel of our Savior. And the song, as we sing it, you know this, the biblical narrative is there. It was inspired by the biblical narrative of the shepherds who told those in Bethlehem what the angel had said about Jesus, and then they went back to the fields praising and glorifying God, essentially proclaiming on the mountains and everywhere who God is, what God has done, which we, the singers of the song, are also encouraged to do. So while we're singing, this is an opportunity for us to ask God to help us in the new year to live testifying of Him and the new life that is given to us, to you, in Jesus. What it means to live that life, to live because of God and with God and to live for God. Together, let me pray for us. Maybe this morning, as you're here and hearing this, let me encourage you that if God is pushing you on this, that you're being presented with a truth that you need to respond to, and he's convicting you, that you need to give your life to Him and to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Let me just share some prompts, but if this is coming out of your heart, you may say to God this morning, God, I acknowledge, I agree, I am a sinner, and my life is separated from You. And I agree that Christ Jesus has come from You, He is my Savior who died for me. And I receive him as my Savior. And I give my life to you, to serve you, to live with you now and forever. And Father, for those for who you have come to, people just trying to do life, who are desperate and who find that peace is often hard to find in the midst of that. We thank you that as we surrender our lives to you, we can know your peace in our lives. And we can live with that peace in the midst of what's chaos around us. And we can live life because of you and with you and for you today and forever. And so, Father, as we enter into our celebrations and into the new year, may we learn to live new and to live glorious, testifying of who you are. To you alone, God, be the glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Let me encourage you that if you have prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior, you've given your life this morning to him, or you even have just questions about that, there's people on the Connect table back there. Come and talk to me. Talk to Pastor Jared. We would love to have an opportunity to talk with you about that.